Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line, Professor Adrian Puren, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases. A very, very good morning. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and good morning to you, your listeners.
So we obviously are following the numbers, as all South Africans seem to do. We become numbers obsessed, even those of us that are particularly poor at numbers. We're watching positivity rates. We're watching R numbers. We're watching the different provinces. We're watching recoveries. We've all become statisticians. But over the last couple of days, there does seem to have been a little bit of a shift in the wrong direction. We wanted to hear from you what your thoughts are around this.
Well, thank you very much. I think we'll all be armchair epidemiologists at the end of this pandemic. I think what the numbers show is that we're at a low ebb in terms of coming out of the second wave or resurgence. And those numbers are actually lower than the, if you like, coming out of the first wave or first surge. Mm-hmm. But you're quite right. The numbers are slowly increasing, but not to the point where we're saying that we're entering into a second or a third wave or a resurgence. But it's an alert, I think, for us to be aware that those non-pharmaceutical interventions, the wearing of masks, wearing them correctly, the physical distancing, ventilation, close contact, all of those particular aspects now need to be re-emphasized. I think for those three provinces in particular, as you know, each province has its district plans. So they would probably and are investigating to determine where are those new infections coming from. So looking at, for example, schools or universities, colleges, residences, any knowledge about congregant events, to try and analyze whether these are clusters and determine how then best to proceed, in particular, increasing testing as well as isolating and quarantine where appropriate. Mm. So those are the approaches that I think are really critical.
Is there a magic number, or is there a point that you say, right, this is it, we are definitely heading towards this third surge or third wave? In other words, like we'd look at if a country is going into recession, it's got to have a certain number of quarters of negative growth, etc. Is there a way in which you do that, or is this really just a matter of seeing how it goes from day to day?
Well, you're quite right. So there is what is called a modeling consortium that is led by the NICD, and it has various partners such as Sakima and the University of Cape Town. They are trying to develop models where you have, as you quite rightly mentioned, that there are particular cutoffs or numbers. Let's say if the what is called the incidence rate is less than 10, then everything is under control. Between say 10 and 30, then you have an alert, and above that you have, you know, really you need to be in control of what's actually happening, and above those particular rates you then are entering into a new wave or resurgence. So yes, the modelers certainly do come up with those particular cutoffs for us to really determine, and that's why I said at this particular time we're not saying that we have entered into a resurgence. In fact, the Northern Cape, as far as I'm aware, has not come out of its second wave, but we are not entering into a third wave. But we are at this point, what we call the upticks and upswings, where we need to start being alert again, making sure that we emphasize around all those particular factors that I've mentioned around the wearing of masks and so on, as well as the hospitals and our risk communication are all ready to manage any further increases in transmission.
Right. So anecdotally, what we're seeing and in discussions that we have, and we have daily updates from a pulmonologist, Dr. Anton Meiberg. We have a weekly extensive interview with him. What they're seeing at some of the hospitals is just a steady increase in the Johannesburg, Gauteng area, a steady increase of the number of COVID patients. So it's not necessarily a tsunami, but certainly there is just a little bit of a shift towards the numbers going up.
Absolutely, because you know you've seen, we've all experienced the resurgence, the second wave. That was really astounding to see that you know what can actually happen when you have that combination of a new variant, increased mobility, close contact, and it was in summer months actually, and yet we saw a markedly, dramatically different wave to the first wave overall in terms of the numbers, in terms of the numbers of admissions to hospital, ICU, and deaths. And I think that means that we really need to be alert, because again, we're not really sure what this third wave may look like, the form and shape. It may well different, it could be worse. And so it's really key for us now, given that we're seeing or having these signals, that we act now.
In terms of the third wave, if we don't have the rage type of event, if we've managed to get past Easter largely, which I think we have, obviously now there's another long weekend coming up, that's always a concern. But if you don't have these mass events, do you think it would be possible to avoid the dramatic nature of what we saw in the second wave?
I think it may well be possible. You know, we may have then a flattened wave, but we could have certainly clusters and so forth, rather than this massive, you know, community transmission that we've seen. So it is possible. Therefore, I think it comes back to the fact that, you know, how can we best as a community, you know, manage the transmissions that we are currently seeing? So the testing is very important. I noted you had advertised, for example, where to get testing, the types of testing.
Absolutely.
So encouraging people to get testing is really critical. Communicating, all those key messages, not to be punitive, but really just to try and engage and make sure that, you know, communities are aware of the things that we can do. Obviously, it would be wonderful if we can really roll out the vaccine, at a rapid and expanded rate. That could also really play an important role. The other point I want to raise is the fact that we're entering into, you know, the flu season. So again, individuals that are vulnerable, I would really like to encourage you, if you can have access to the vaccine, to have the influenza vaccine as soon as possible as well.
In terms of the Johnson & Johnson, where are we in that process? I mean, I know SAHPRA has advised, obviously, given certain conditions, that pause be lifted. Where are we as far as the NICD is concerned?
Yeah, so I didn't see that. So thank you very much, because I've been trying to find that alert. So it's good. And as you know, it's that alert, similar alert has been taking place in the United States as well. It's been lifted. So I think this will be an opportune time, at least for the health care workers, because that was really the intent in this particular first phase, because again, that was one of our most vulnerable groups, healthcare workers. So I think that really is going to be key now, to really rapidly over the next few weeks, really ensure that the healthcare workers are covered with vaccine. And then obviously there are other doses outside of the clinical trial, that will then play a role in terms of, vaccine that the broader community. And again, the criteria have certainly been laid out. So again, I really would like to encourage individuals to really sign up, in order to have access.
Right. So in fact, it's an interesting comment, because the one thing that I have noticed, and again, my information is very anecdotal. It's people I'm speaking to. I don't have the figures in front of me as you might, but the one thing that I've noticed is, and I'm concerned about, is that the pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has sent the wrong message, or perhaps a dangerous message to South Africans who are now, and many people who I've spoken to are now suddenly concerned whether this is a dangerous thing to do, to go and have the vaccine or not. So I felt that with AstraZeneca, whilst it was clear that it wasn't coming into the country, and we were actually on selling our million doses, and there were concerns around the world, we could have isolated it. Now that there's nervousness, which I'm not even sure is founded, around the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the message is going to, we're going to have to work much harder to drive the message around vaccine hesitancy a lot stronger. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I agree with you fully on that, because as you rightly point out, there have been certain studies showing that South Africans have a fair degree of hesitancy, and this pause certainly did not help matters. So again, it comes back to our communications reassurance about, you know, people assessing their risk. In other words, in the right age categories where that risk is low, But if you were to have the infection, you could end up in hospital, in ICU and die. Then once you see that balance, and I think that's important, is that risk, not getting the vaccine versus your age category and your risks, then I think those are the types of communications that we really need to have.
Yeah, and I believe, and of course, we are going to have to.
And the options are there in terms of, I'm not sure again how the distribution of vaccines will work. Now that the pause is lifted again, maybe there will be a focus for a specific vaccine for specific age groups, perhaps. But again, I'm not sure what the final decisions have been on that. But those are some of the options that you could consider in your communications.
Right. And one of our listeners says they're absolutely loving listening to you. And she says, Jenny says, I could listen to the professor reading a telephone directory. So obviously everybody just enjoying that. Professor Adrian Puren, thank you for chatting to us this morning, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD. Just keep doing the incredibly important work that you are doing on all of our behalfs.